So, Lord, we come before you this morning as we're seated in your presence. And God, whatever it is that we're carrying this morning, whether it's the sin that is entangling us or whether it's just the hardships of life or whether it's the burdens or the wounds that we carry, Lord, God, we want to let go our souls and lay those things at your feet. And if people are still struggling to do that this morning, Lord, would you help us? Would you encourage us? Would we be able to leave this place this morning, really laying those things at your feet? Because I think a lot of times we look at this song, God, and we see that it is well, and we see all the promises, how the wind and the waves, they know your name. And if we really stop to think about those things, that is amazing. But I think we forget that when it is really well is when it says in this song that our eyes are on you. And there's so many things in this world each and every day that try to take our eyes off of you. But God, we want it to be well. So we ask this morning that you'd bring our eyes back to focus on you. And as we listen to your word, that you would speak and that it would be powerful. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Grace Point. You can do better than that. Good morning, Grace Point. I love it. I love it. You know, I had thyroid surgery several months ago, and so I have to rely on other people to do the shouting for me. So I appreciate you doing that. I want to start out by just congratulating Grace Point Church for 60 years of ministry. You know, that is a big deal. And last Sunday must have been something. You're celebrating 60 years. This old Steve, 60 years old. That's amazing. His dad is even older than that. Uh-oh, now I'm stepping on toes. And they've been here for 25 years. That is fantastic. And I think it's thrilling that you've been here because I know Tigard is different because of the ministry of Grace Point through all of these years. Lois and I have only known Steve and Debbie for a few months, actually. But already, we count them as dear friends. You know, they're just the kind of people that you're drawn to, aren't they? You know, they just kind of warm up to you so quickly. And so that was true with us. And I want you to tell him that I said that so I can stay in his good graces. Okay, so would you report that to him, that I said he's a great guy, but I really do mean it. And it's a joy for me to be here today, pinch hinting for your dear pastor. My wife would be here today, but she is in Denver, Colorado, helping our youngest daughter after the birth of their third child and now 14th grandchild. We actually have 13 on earth. We have one in heaven, but we still count her. But anyway, she's there, and I know it's hard for you to believe that somebody that looks as young as I do could have that many grandchildren. But Lois and I were married young. We were married at 19 during our milk break at school, and we've been going strong ever since. I like the concept and title of Steve's current sermon series, Healthy, Achieving Optimal Spiritual Vitality. Certainly one of the most basic parts of getting healthy and staying healthy spiritually is a regular nutritious diet from God's Word. And I've listened to Steve preach, and I know that he feeds you well here each Sunday. I looked at your website, and I see that you've got a number of great small groups going on for men, for women, for students. After nearly 50 years in pastoral ministry, I've seen that one thing that helps believers get and stay healthy is learning to feed themselves from God's Word. Let me say that again, learning to feed themselves from God's Word. So today, in addition to preaching a sermon, I want to share one simple way to feed yourselves, and when you're feeding yourself, and to feed others from the Word of God. And it's on the flip side of your outline today, and it's called a one-word devotional. And I'm not going to go over that point by point. Some of you have already read ahead because that's what you do. That's what you do. But I'm going to be using, I use that process basically in developing this sermon today. But there are several reasons why I like this style of a one-word devotional. First of all, it's simple because the older I get, the more I like simple. I like it because it gets the people into the Bible for themselves rather than depending on prepackaged Bible study workbooks or professionally produced videos. Now, there are great studies available, and I'm not putting them down at all. I know that you use them here, but great communicators like Beth Moore and Chip Ingram, Priscilla Shire, Tony Evans, and others who really do a marvelous job. But I don't think that should take the place of a Christian's ability to dig into God's Word for themselves. I mean, to go to the actual Bible, not just to push a button and let somebody else tell you what it says and what it means. I think that's an important thing. And something else I like about this very simple thing is that it encourages interaction, conversation with other believers around the Word of God. It helps us to have a real dialogue with the Lord. You know, there's a lot of monologuing that goes on when it comes to our faith. There's a preacher who tells you stuff. And we read stuff in God's Word, and that's important. That's God speaking. But you know, when we blend the two aspects together of getting into God's Word and then responding in prayer, we have an actual conversation with Him. He speaks to us, and we respond to Him in prayer. And I think that's how you get healthy and how you stay healthy as a believer. So as I mentioned, I decided to use kind of a rendition of this approach. So I'm calling this a one-word sermon, although clearly there's a lot more than one word involved. We won't get involved in group discussion today, but at least we can focus in on this one word. And the word that I have chosen this morning is the word encouragement. Encouragement. By the way, I didn't bring a PowerPoint thing with me today, which means that we're going old school that way too. There's not many graphics. So until I break into the moonwalk and stuff like that to kind of keep your attention, you'll just have to kind of focus on things as we go through. And I'll try to speak really distinctly so that you can fill in the blanks on that outline if it helps you. Lois and I faced our greatest challenge in interim ministry during our sixth interim assignment. We had never been in a church that needed more encouragement or seemed to resist encouragement more than this one did. And I don't think I'd ever been in a situation where I personally needed more encouragement than over the 2 years that we spent there. By God's grace, and I really mean that, we saw a remarkable turnaround in the final few months there. Things ended very well when I was able to pass the baton to their new senior pastor. And they're continuing to thrive. They're continuing to grow in wonderful ways under his leadership. Since then, we've served healthier churches, our last assignment in Wisconsin. And then starting the 1st of December, we're going to start a ministry in North Platte, Nebraska. And that is a church also that's going to need an awful lot of encouragement because they face some real challenges, as churches often do when they're going through transition. So today I'm going to ask and answer some very basic questions about encouragement based on this little Bible study. And I like to call encouragement a simple yet profound ministry. A simple yet profound ministry. So we start with the basics. What is it? What is encouragement? Basic definitions. That's the first fill in there. Basic definitions. English dictionaries, and that's where we start in a one-word devotional, defines encourage or encouragement as to inspire or to infuse with courage, to give confidence and hope, to support, to assist, to stimulate, to spur on. Now, another tool that you can use in this process is Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, and there are several Greek words. You can learn how to pronounce these and impress your friends, and it will really impress your pastor, if you come up to him and say, well, Pastor, wasn't that protrepo that we were talking about last Sunday? And that means to urge forward, to persuade. Acts 18:27, Apollos had been thinking about going to Greece, and the believers encouraged him in this. They urged him forward. Yeah, go ahead, do that. Paramethetomai, another impressive Greek word, which means to stimulate the discharge of ordinary duties of life. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not living right, cheer up those who are discouraged, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. So just kind of keeping people going on the regular flow of life. Paraklesis, and this is a word that you probably heard a few times from Pastor Steve and others. to call to the side of as a helper, an advocate, to exhort. I really appreciate the fact that Hebrews was read today, but another passage in Hebrews 6:18 says, all those who flee to him to save them can take new courage when they hear assurances from God. Now they can know without doubt that he will give them the salvation he has promised them. So we flee to him. He stands by our side. Paraclete, by the way, John Moore. I just talked to John Moore earlier today. It's the Bible word for lawyers. Can you believe that? And also for wives, helpmates, and for the Holy Spirit. Now, who in the world would ever equate the work of lawyers with the work of the Holy Spirit? But the Bible does. So take courage. If we have any lawyers here today, I just want to encourage you that there's a Bible precedent for what you do. Not bad company to keep, by the way. Lawyers, wives, and the Holy Spirit. Some Bible descriptions. Bible descriptions of encouragement. So I just chose a few scriptures which include the use of the word directly or describe the essence of what it is. So here's a few of them. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, Paul writing says, we sent Timothy, who was our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 was just read earlier. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's not just a matter of showing up for church, in other words. When we show up to encourage one another. That's what we do. We're spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. That's actually from the King James. I have to confess there's not many times that I refer to the King James Version as an alternate to look at. But I like that little phrase in there that says, encouragers are helpers of your joy. Helpers of your joy. Like room brighteners, or day brighteners, or life brighteners. Helpers of someone else's joy. If there were a patron saint of encouragement, it would certainly be Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And some of you have studied about, read about Barnabas before, standing beside Saul of Tarsus to affirm his conversion to Christ and call to the ministry. He's the one who mentored John Mark after the young man blew it in the ministry and was fired. I mean, it's one thing to get fired when you're in the ministry, but imagine being fired by the Apostle Paul himself. I mean, that would kind of stick with you, wouldn't it? I mean, you kind of go into the top of the human rankings there, and he says, you're out of here, John Mark. You can't handle it. And Barnabas is the one who steps in beside him and kind of takes over his mentoring. Let's move on to the second question about encouragement, which is, who needs it? Who needs it? The obvious answer to that question is everybody needs encouragement at one time or another. It's story time, children, so I want you to listen, okay, as Daddy reads. A married couple was asleep in bed on a stormy night when they were awakened by a loud knock at the front door. The man crawled out of bed and grumpily went downstairs. When he opened the front door, he found a man dripping wet and obviously very drunk who said to him, "Can you give me a push?" To which the man of the house replied sharply, "No, go and sober up." He slammed the door and stormed upstairs. When he got back into bed and explained what had happened to his wife was indignant and said to him, "That wasn't a very kind Christian response." "By this must be my wife." She would say stuff like that. "That man could be in trouble, and you just have sent him out into the storm for the rest of the night." Reluctantly, the man got out of bed a second time, put on his coat, went downstairs. He was sure he wasn't going to get any peace until he did something for the man out in the rain. When he got to the front door, the rain was streaming down, and he could not see the other man. He could hear a faint noise out in the front yard, so he called out, "Hello, are you still there? What can I do to help?" To which the other man replied, "Could you give me a push? I'd be happy to if I could see you. Where are you?" "I'm over here on your swing." Now that's a crazy story. But encouragement is a little bit like giving somebody a push on a swing so that then they can start pumping for themselves, right? kind of like you're talking about today, Carol. Encouragement means coming alongside and inputting courage, perspective, or attitudes that help others get up and get going. Now, there are a lot of things in life which discourage us, which drain our courage. That's what discourage means, right? It's the draining of courage. It can be brought on by a crisis, physical exhaustion, sickness, cutting words or actions from someone. I got some water down here. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Here is water. What doth hinder me? Encouragement represents the replacement of what has been taken or what has leaked out of someone. The Bible is filled with stories of people who needed encouragement. Abraham needed it. Moses needed it. David, Mary, Joseph, and, this is another fill-in, Jesus did. Jesus needed encouragement. After all these years of knowing and serving the Lord, I continue to be amazed as much by his humanity as his deity. It's hard to imagine an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God needing encouragement, especially from mere human beings. But Jesus came to this point in his life where that's exactly what he needed, and he asked for it. If you have your Bibles, I served a Bible church. This is a Point Church. Y'all use your Bible here, do you? Good deal. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. A very familiar passage to many of you from the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here a while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply disturbed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Now, it's obvious in this passage that Jesus went directly to the Father in prayer about his heaviness. But according to Luke's gospel, Luke 22:43, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. It blows my mind that in addition to his prayers to God, the Father, and angelic presence, Jesus sought support from three very human guys, Peter, James, and John. He asked them to pray with him and scolded them because they fell asleep on the job. In other words, they didn't encourage him. So who needs encouragement? Well, Jesus did. And then the next fill-ins, you and I do. You and I do. I don't know your discouragement story, so you're going to have to listen to one of mine. Sorry about that, folks. For several reasons, our sixth interim was the most challenging that we've had. And I have to be honest and say I may have gone into that assignment a little overconfident. That's a softer word than arrogant, but overconfident. Because I'd had five previous interim assignments, and all of them went pretty well. As Pastor Michael mentioned, I assist our ministry director in teaching the orientation course to prospective interim pastors. I've done that several times. I coach interim pastors. Actually turned down, at this time I turned down an opportunity at a much larger, healthier church because I thought this church needed the help that I could offer them. Church was 120 years old, twice your age. They'd been through several cycles of impressive progress and devastating setbacks. So we did kind of a history study of the last eight pastors and discovered that out of those eight, six were forced exits and four of those forced exits were due to moral failure from either the pastor or his wife. The wife of the pastor who preceded me had an affair with a prominent man in the church and the community. That's what we stepped into. Now, that during his ministry, the church had been growing. They'd been making wonderful inroads into the community. They were planning on moving to a brand new campus when all of this came out, when all of it hit the fan. And the congregation was divided as to whether the pastor should continue his ministry there. After all, he didn't do anything wrong. It was his wife. So why should he have to leave? I, quite frankly, had a hard time getting in sync with the leaders and congregation as a whole. I was a left coast guy coming into a New England church. They either didn't understand or accept the concept of an intentional interim pastor, despite what I thought were good efforts to try to communicate it. Neither my preaching nor leadership style seemed to resonate with them as it had in other places. And even worse, they didn't get or appreciate my humor. Now, you can do a lot of things to a pastor. But if you don't appreciate his humor, you know, we're going to have some trouble. And it had been years since I felt that insecure about my gifting and my calling. And it's pretty safe to say going into that situation that their trust in pastors was pretty low. They didn't trust us very much. In addition to the challenges in that New England church, Lois and I were dealing with some big family issues. My 93-year-old father took a turn for the worst and passed away in September of 2014. Because of that, there were a lot of extra trips and phone calls and emails and texts and arrangements to make. I was concerned about the welfare of my 90-year-old mother. Our daughter, Susan, got married in October of that same year. Now, that's a wonderful thing, but you know, it's emotionally, physically, and financially expensive. Our ninth grandchild, Alistair, was born in January, which was also fantastic, but all of these events take stuff out of you, don't they? They're emotionally taxing. And because of this, Lois was out of town a lot because she was out west helping family, being a support, doing all of those things. And so here I was all alone in New England, and it wasn't going all that well. Now, your depression story or discouragement story may be a lot more dramatic or devastating, but I haven't been called to handle yours, okay? And you haven't been called to handle mine, but this is just the reality. This is one thing that I was facing. Almost all of us have experienced crisis, setbacks, exhaustion, rejection, failure, illness or loss, and we've been defeated and deflated and generally discouraged. So when we need encouragement or know someone who does, the final question is, who gives it? Who gives encouragement? Now, every Christian knows that encouragement ultimately comes from the Lord himself, including the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Many great passages. We usually get much more proficient in the Psalms when we're going through hard times, don't we? Psalm 10:17, you hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and listen to their cry. I like, by the way, the two things that are there. You encourage and listen. God listens. He encourages us. We look at encouraging passages. We pour out our heart to the Lord in prayer. Sacred music helps. Christian music helps. It can kind of calm the savage beast of discouragement as it did for King Saul when David sang and played for him. The Hebrews passage that was read earlier and others make it clear that the ministry of encouragement is assigned to Christians like you and me. So let me continue with my personal illustration. The Lord provided some initial shots of encouragement from an older, wiser man who lived in the area and happened to be a former pastor of this church. He was one of those who didn't have to leave. He listened. He provided perspective on some of the key players in the church and the culture. He affirmed the importance of my role as an interim pastor, and he reminded me of another great encourager from the past that some of you good, solid, conservative Baptists may remember by the name of Lauren Fisher. Lauren is one of my professors at Western Ceremony, and he was a master and probably is a master encourager today, even with some of the limitations that he has. And I got all that encouragement from this dear man, and it only cost me a few lunches. By the way, I've never been afraid to ask for encouragement if I need it. So I just called him and I'd say, I need encouragement. Can we get together, Frank? You bet. Let's have lunch. I said, good, I'll buy. And that encouraged him. The pastor search process began in September of 2014. It started very well. And after several months, the pastor search team narrowed the field to three candidates who best fit the pastor profile, which we developed, and they rated these three top candidates 1, 2, and 3. Their number one was my number three. But we're out of sync again. I did a lot of lip biting and question asking because coaching is sometimes harder than leading. So you're kind of trying to lead from the back in a coaching relationship, and that's what I was trying to do. The field narrowed even further when two of the three pulled themselves out of consideration, leaving, guess what, my number one guy and their number three guy, the only one left. There was a vocal minority on that team who favored going back to the drawing board rather than moving forward with this pastor. I was discouraged because I was convinced this would be the best possible fit for this church. And because it meant if we went back to the drawing board, I was going to have to stay there longer. And that I found that very discouraging at the time. When things were coming to a decision point, I got a monthly call from Interim Pastor Ministries has a pastoral care director. Isn't that a great pastor to pastors? He had been an interim himself in like 13 different places. He was currently and still in his 90s. And when asked how he could pray, I shared our dilemma with him. And he told me about another interim pastor who faced a similar situation, and he said, you know, that pastor and the team went to prayer, and they prayed for unanimity. The team united wholeheartedly around one candidate, and that's how they came together. And I thought, thank you, Howard, that was them, but this is us, and I'm sure this situation is much worse than that one was. But you know, that old guy prayed that the Lord would do the same for the church that I serve. And because of what he said and because of his example, next meeting of the pastor search team, I said, I'm going to ask that we spend the next week and that we pray fervently that the Lord will bring us together, that he'll get us on the same page in terms of what we should do next. And after that week, we decided to conduct one more interview with the remaining candidate and ask very pointed questions related to the concern that some of them had about him. And that interview, that phone interview, turned into one of those God moments which only he can orchestrate. The pastor answered all of the questions honestly and with amazing insight. And at the conclusion of the call, the lead of the pastor search team went around the room one by one and said, what do you think? What do you think? And everyone said, I'm convinced that this is God's man for our church. And in the weeks that ensued, before we invited him to come and candidate, everyone on the search team got up and explained why they believed this was God's man for our church. And the church responded with 100% vote to call him. Now, maybe all of that would have happened without Howard's encouraging words and prayer, but I think divine providence was involved. And I know I was encouraged to stay focused and to keep moving forward because Howard prayed for me, and he encouraged me at that time. In retrospect, I can see how the Lord used that difficult situation and ultimately provided just the right man to lead that dear church. I want to offer some practical suggestions. It's always good when we get around to that, isn't it? Regardless of your age or stage in life, you can give shots of encouragement to others in some of these ways. And again, we don't have the PowerPoint this morning, but so I'm going to try to articulate them well enough and see how fast you can write. Now you're saying, why didn't I take shorthand? Now they call it brief hand. Now you just talk into your phone. We encourage people by using pleasant words without barbs. We encourage people by using pleasant words without barbs. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. We encourage people by recognizing and sharing what God is doing in and through them. We encourage people by recognizing and sharing what God is doing in and through them. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. We are always thankful as we pray for you all, for we never forget that your faith has meant solid achievement, your love has meant hard work, and the hope that you have in our Lord Jesus Christ means sheer dogged endurance in the life that you live before God, the Father of us all. In other words, a lot of encouragement comes when we are specific in the things that we're encouraging people in. We're not just patting people on the back and saying, you know, that kind of thing. We're giving something really specific to encourage them with. We encourage people by recognizing and sharing what God is doing in and through them. Third, we encourage people with gratitude for how they have blessed us. We encourage people with gratitude for how they blessed us. Philippians 4, of course, the book of Philippians is a great book of encouragement, isn't it? I have a series that I do on that called Rejoice Regardless. It's great for grumpy churches, and so I preach that in a few churches. Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes, "When I first preached the good news, you were the only church that helped me. It was when I left for the country of Macedonia. Even while I was in the city of Thessalonica, you helped me more than once. I have everything I need and more than enough. I am taken care of because Epaphroditus brought your gift. It's a sweet gift. It's a gift that cost you something. It's the kind of gift God is so pleased with." We express gratitude for how they have blessed us. One of the reasons why Pastor Steve has been able to be in this place for 25 years is that he got enough encouragement from some of you. Now, there's a lot of discouragement that comes in pastoring a church, and been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. And a lot of times it's the thing that keeps you going is that word of encouragement. The word of encouragement. And I know you gave a lot to him last week, but I hope you don't save those words of encouragement for anniversaries or birthdays. It just keeps a lot. Pastor Michael needs a lot of encouragement. You think, well, he's young, you know. He's slim, he has hair. What encouragement could he possibly need? But he does. He needs lots of encouragement as he ministers to youth. So important. We encourage people with gratitude for how they've blessed us. We encourage people by speaking well of them to others. This, by the way, is good gossip. You know about bad gossip? There's also good gossip. 2 Corinthians 9, 2. "I know you want to help. I've been bragging about this to the people of Macedonia, telling them that you in southern Greece have been ready to give since last year, and your desire to give has made most of them ready to give also." So he's bragging about these Corinthians to other places. Now, you know, if you've studied the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, that they had a lot of bad stuff going on in Corinth, too. They were not a perfect church by any stretch of the imagination. But Paul also found some things that encouraged him, and because of that, he bragged about them. He gossiped well about them to other churches. And that itself was a stimulation to other people. We encourage people by listening to them and taking their concerns seriously. This is what, again, David wrote in Psalm 10. I guess it was David. I don't know if he wrote this one or not, but speaking of the Lord, he says, "You encourage the longings of those who suffer, you offer them hope, and you pay attention to their cries for help." We encourage people by being present with them. Just presence alone can be a great encouragement, can't it? Psalm 38:18, "If your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath." Isn't that great? That's a great translation. Of course, the message. If you're kicked in the gut, he'll help you catch your breath. It's kind of using God as our model of encouragement. Just the presence of God, and your presence with someone can be encouraging to them. And one more I'll suggest. We encourage people by praying with and for them. 2 Corinthians 1:11, Paul's asking for encouragement here. He says, "Please help us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks for the blessings we receive in answer to all these prayers." I've come to the conclusion at this point in my life that my primary ministry should be one of encouragement. For one thing, I usually come from out of town to serve people. I mean, I've come all the way from Gladstone, so I'm out of town. Proverbs 25:25. Good news from a faraway place is like a cool drink of water when you're hot and thirsty. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Thank you, by the way. Reminds me. Upon arrival at these churches, and we interviewed last week in Nebraska, we often find what we found last week, and that is leaders who are weary and discouraged, and members who are wary and confused. They're working through grief and loss, anger and disillusionment, or in some cases just boredom and complacency. So we come in as interim pastors with some tools to lead them through a transitional process. And there are two things that I want to convey to people in every congregation that we serve. And that is this: there is hope, and I can help. There's hope, and I can help. This ministry of encouragement, it's one of those that can become more effective as we age. The older Pastor Steve gets, the better he gets as an encourager. And someday he'll be where Larry is. And I know Larry is a great encourager of people. So it's one of those things. There's a lot of things we can't do anymore. I had two surgeries this last year, and so there's some things I can't do with my arm that I used to do. And there's stuff I can't do with my voice. I've been a singer all my life, and I can't sing anymore. I can't carry a tune anymore because of this deal. But I can still encourage people. I can still encourage people. And I think actually, because as we age, we think slower and move slower, we can take a little more time to encourage people. We can take time to ask more questions. We can take more time to think through some suggestions. We can assist with solutions. We can provide affirmation. In both giving and receiving encouragement, I've learned it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much, and it goes a long way. It's almost, some of you older people will understand this, we take a little pill every day. It's a low-dose aspirin. You know what I'm talking about? It's baby aspirin. That's what it's taken. But we take it every day because it helps keep our heart healthy. So a little goes a long way. Regular doses of encouragement are a huge part of helping a church get healthier and helping a Christian work through the stuff that everybody's trying to work through. And because of that, every church we enter, every leader we engage, every Christian we encounter needs and wants encouragement. And because of that, as long as my brain is halfway engaged, this is one thing I should be able to do the rest of my life and get better at it as I get older. I want to be an encourager. I want to be an encourager. I want to encourage with affirming words and listening ears, and physical touch, heartfelt prayer, and even meaningful gifts. And I believe the profound ministry of simple encouragement can keep us from becoming grumpy old men and women. And I don't think there's anything worse than a grumpy old pastor. Ooh. I'm going to keep moving on from here. Bible teacher and commentator that you may have heard of before, F.B. Meyer, once remarked that if he had his life to live over again, he would spend much more time in the ministry of encouragement. Can you think of anybody in this room who needs encouragement about now? Better question might be, can you think of anyone in this room who doesn't need encouragement right now? If you do, somebody else does. Your pastor and his wife need encouragement. Pastor Michael and his family need encouragement. The elders need encouragement. Ministry leaders Children need it. Teenagers need it. Young adults need it. Middle-aged people need it. Parents need it. Singles need it. Older adults need it. You don't need to do something grandiose. Last Sunday, I guess you had a pretty good party, didn't you? You had a lot to celebrate. 60 years and 60 years and 25 years. But you don't have to do something grandiose all the time, and certainly you shouldn't wait for times like that for encouragement. People sometimes just need a little push on the swing. You don't have to do this. Sometimes just this. And it starts to go, and after a while, then they can start pumping on their own. They can start pumping on their own. In closing, I want to remind you that the ultimate encouragement is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is what? It's good news. It's good news. People need that encouragement. It's good news for sinners who need the forgiveness and the cleansing which only Jesus can provide. And the gospel is good news for Christians who need to be reminded of the truth found in Philippians 1:6. And I want to say this to you: he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. The work that he started 60 years ago at Grace Point Church is going to continue. It's going to continue. And the ministry that Pastor Steve and Debbie have had here for the last 25 years is going to continue. It's going to continue until it's completed. Until it's completed. Let me pray for you. Jesus, it's been a pleasure for me to be here today, to meet some people that I hadn't seen for a while, meet a lot of others that I'd never met before, and yet to experience that sweet bond in Christ. And so I've been encouraged today just by the people I've connected with. And Lord, I pray that you will turn increasingly Grace Point Church into a congregation full of world-class encouragers. And Lord, I know that you can do that and that you are doing it. And I want to pray especially today for Pastor Steve and Debbie, and as they're back east, Lord, that you would give them great encouragement in being in a different setting. And I know that they face challenges here and they face challenges there. And I pray that they would continue to be encouraged by your work in their life and by these dear people that they've had the privilege of serving all of these years. Lord, we want to give you the glory and thank you for the encouragement that you give to us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to stand as our ushers come forward for the offering.